Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Once dotted with small businesses that served the African-American community during segregation, the neighborhood of Newtown to the north of downtown Sarasota declined as capital investment went elsewhere throughout the 80s and the early 2000s. It became a medical care desert with not one doctor's office in the area. It's a problem that neighborhoods within many American cities face. But now, thanks to a community-wide partnership, a new clinic on Dr. Martin Luther King Boulevard will blaze a trail to combine needs and resources to solve a number of problems. The Gene and Alfred Goldstein Health Center is a clinic serviced by 13 Florida State University medical interns, but it will also be home to a food pantry and a legal aid office to fill gaps identified within the community. It's a unique approach that combines medical doctors who have an interest in serving the community with legal experts and nutrition assistants, a new approach to an old issue. Here to tell us more about it is Dr. Wilhelmine Weiss-Romich. She's the director of FSU's medical intern program. Thank you for being part of the show.
Thank you, Julie. This is Wilhelmina. Thank you for inviting us.
Also with us today is Dr. Christopher Jenkins, who's working at the clinic. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are talking about a new medical clinic, which is so much more, in the Newtown neighborhood of Sarasota. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can also visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. First, Dr. Wilhelmina Weiss-Romich, tell me about how this clinic came to be. What was the inspiration behind it, and how was that accomplished?
And that's an excellent question. As you know, we are an internal medicine residency program, and we received our accreditation in 2 years ago. And so as we were developing our program, one of the things that we wanted to do was really go beyond meeting accreditation requirements, but to really provide care to a very underserved population. It aligns with the mission of the residency program, the mission of Florida State University, and the mission of Sarasota Memorial. And so we conducted a needs assessment, and it was how we identified that the best place to have the internal medicine continuity clinic would be at the community of Newtown, which we know is a food desert, and as you have just alluded to earlier, there's really no access, very limited access to care in that region.
And it's more than just a clinic. You say it's beyond traditional. Why is that?
You know, any program can meet accreditation requirements, but we wanted to go beyond that, and really we wanted to say, so what are the barriers that impact care? And so one of them, obviously, is transportation. So if you have a clinic at the site where the patients are, now you've eliminated a barrier. But at the same way, what are other barriers? So, for example, a lot of our underserved and underinsured patients face a lot of legal issues. So we've partnered with Legal Aid of Minnesota so that they can come to the site and provide, for example, counseling, free legal counseling on issues that impact health. Let's say that your patient has not been able to pay their electricity and they're on home oxygen, and there's that concern that they're going to, you know, legal aid can then interfere and intervene on their behalf so that that doesn't happen. Or perhaps it is to get additional benefits that they may be eligible for. Or perhaps they're an asthmatic and are renting a house that, you know, there's where there is that's infested with roaches, for example, that could worsen their asthma. So that was one of the things we wanted to. And really the most rewarding part of establishing this practice at Newtown is that it's not just them. Since we've talked about having the practice, it's really a whole community of like-minded organizations and individuals that have come together. So we've partnered, for example, with from community leaders that have helped this happen to the Sarasota Memorial also has a pharmacy residency program. So we'll have a pharmacist that will also help provide counseling. As you mentioned, the All Faiths Food Bank, Newtown is a food desert. And so we also partner with them and the Newtown Farmers Market so that now we could have our diabetics, we could give a prescription for low-carb bread and additional servings of fruit and vegetables. And it's really a way of getting and identifying, really what do we need to help this community to improve the population health of the entire community.
Where did you get the ideas for these different components and what that need was? Because there's legal aid is just an interesting aspect to have involved, but it's definitely something to help give people an understanding of what their rights are that they may not otherwise know. And having it right there is probably going to end up being a pretty important community center.
Absolutely. And so the idea stemmed, I've been in graduate medical education for over 21 years and have worked in underserved areas. So previously I was in Detroit, Michigan, and so obviously another area of need. And I reflected back as to what were the barriers, what did we lack? And all of these sort of, we sought out to look at some of these areas where we had deficiencies. So, having a pharmacist is really important. I can provide, I can treat my patients and give them, five prescriptions, but if they don't know where they're going to afford that, it's not going to work. So the other group we've partnered is also Good Samaritan Pharmacy. So anyone who's below the poverty level that are able to get basically free medications. So it was really looking back at many experiences that we've learned through the years of what made providing care in an underserved population challenging.
And
we anticipate that we'll have a lot of patients with diabetes, for example. So it really made sense to partner with the food bank, which will also not only provide them with, additional servings of food and vegetables, but they provide nutrition classes, they help them prepare meals, and so forth.
Yeah, and that's a challenge, too, just knowing how to prepare what's best for you and having that kind of information is
right.
Great. The clinic has 13 medical interns. Tell me about these interns. What is a medical intern? What level are they at as far as being a doctor? Are they all doctors? How does that work?
That's an excellent question. So all of them have completed medical school. And so we actually went through a pretty thorough recruitment process and actually interview process. We received about 4,000 applications for 13 spots. And so obviously we're accredited by the Accreditation Council of Graduate Medical Education, and that helps determine how many resident physicians we are able to train. It's 13 per year. So in 3 years, you'll be looking at, now 39 residents that will be at different times practicing at Newtown. They are all supervised by Sarasota Memorial and FSU faculty. Sarasota Memorial has been a site for Florida State University Medical School since 2005. So we've been teaching their students all this time, and they'll also be able to rotate at our site.
So how long does a typical intern stay?
It's a 3-year training program. So,
okay.
We call them interns during their first year of training. Next year, they'll be second and third, they'll be second year residents.
Okay. Okay. And so, Dr. Christopher Jenkins, how did you become involved in this clinic?
Well, we go through a process every year during your fourth year of medical school where you apply to different hospitals of your choosing around the country. And you choose the place that you really want to work at based on, their reputation, their goals, their mission-driven work, and just to see if they align with your personal goals, and what you plan to do with your career, you more than likely you end up at that hospital. I chose this hospital specifically because. Partly because of the clinic. I was really impressed with the faculty's commitment and passion and drive to serve the underserved community and to just be involved in their care and their education so that they can improve the quality of life in these communities as they desperately need it. And that's part of my goals and my aspirations as far as what I would do, because I've worked, in hospitals, and I'm from Atlanta, so I've worked in hospitals in an underserved community in Atlanta, and I've worked in other practices in underserved community in Atlanta, and so I'm very familiar with it, and I see the need in these communities, and part of this need, as she stated before, is education, educating these patients, and just providing them access to the resources that may not be available to them. And that's one of the things that really impressed me about this clinic. I was really excited to be a part of it, and I can see the excitement, you know, among other physicians and other nurses and the nutritionists and everyone who's involved in it. We're really passionate about it.
You said that you worked with underserved communities before, and I find that really interesting that that's kind of like your driving purpose. Have you seen other places that are doing this kind of confluence of all things, including legal aid, the pharmacy, the farmer's market, nutrition?
No, honestly, and that's one reason why I was so impressed, because you don't see this one-stop shop at a clinic or a practice anywhere else. At least I haven't. There may be some that exist that are currently doing this, but I haven't come across it. I've been to quite a few of them, and so I really like that, because I am part of my mission is to educate my patients so that they understand not only what their rights are, but just understand their disease state, understand, you know, their medication, understand, you know, their side effects and how to administer medications and so on and so forth. I'm really big on education, because if you're educated, then from there you can know what questions to ask, and you could monitor and manage your care, your own personal care, a lot more efficiently. And it helps us when the patients understand their disease state and their medications.
And kind of empowering the patient. Have you been working there already?
I have. I've seen a few patients. They were very happy to see us. I was happy to see them. I was just really happy to be there, just to be involved in their care. And I'm going to continue to see those patients. And as we get more patients, I'm going to continue to follow up with those patients so that we have that continuity of care, to where they see the same face every time they come in. You know, we'll do it as best as we can. We rotate in the clinic. We also rotate the hospital. So I try to schedule my patients, of course, when I'm there. If they have to come in for whatever reason outside of that process, then definitely they can. We have many great qualified physicians there, residents, and the attendings there, who are really happy to take care of those patients. But I try to see my patients as, you know, I try to follow with them as much as possible.
Yeah, it's nice to have that personal relationship, definitely.
Yeah.
So what has been the reaction from some of these patients? I mean, I don't want you to tell me anybody's names or anything super specific, but what kind of things have they said to you?
One patient, the first patient that I saw, when I walked in the room, he said, man, you walked in this room pretty cool. You're not nervous at all. And that kind of stuck out to me, because I don't want my patients to feel like they are the first patients of the clinic. You know, I want them to feel like, you know, the clinic's been there a while, and it's just, you know, it's going to feel like a regular practice to them that they've been going to.
Yeah.
But I want to establish that rapport as soon as I see them on the first day, so that they feel comfortable. And because the more comfortable you are and the more confident you are, the patients feel that, you know, that you're able to manage their care more accurately. And plus, it just establishes a great relationship where the patient will continue to just come back to you and see you. And their life will improve, their health will improve. It just makes for a great symbiotic relationship.
Had there been a lot of time between the patients that you're seeing now and the last time they went to see a doctor?
Some of them, yes.
Yeah.
Some of them, a lot of these patients don't have a primary care physician, and that's one of the really important, really, really important highlights of where this clinic is, because as Dr. Wiggum said earlier, because they don't, there's been pretty much only one practice in the entire area for years. This clinic having this level of access to resources and being able to just help these patients in this manner really improves the quality of life, and really has the potential to improve the quality of life in this area. So a lot of these patients don't have a primary care physician, and so when we establish that, we can then establish, you know, what problems they may be having, and we can address them and take care of them as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we continue to follow up with them, and we educate them, and it's just a cycle of of improvement from there.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about a new clinic in Newtown, in the Newtown neighborhood of Sarasota, and you can become part of this conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Dr. Wilhelmina Weiss-Romich, I wanted to ask you, what kind of issues do you see coming from communities like this where they haven't really seen any medical care before?
So one of the concerns that we always have is obviously our patients potentially will have much more advanced disease. They haven't seen, they may not have seen or not even know, for example, that they have diabetes, and they've had diabetes for 5 or 10 years without even knowing it. And so obviously they're going to have much more complications when they do present. So we anticipate that many of them will potentially be a sicker population, if you will, in terms of some of the disease processes that we're going to be seeing because they haven't had access to care, either preventive care either.
Mm-hmm. In addition, you said that there are opportunities for local high school students that can come and shadow professionals at the clinic. How did you design that?
So we've partnered with Booker High School, and we've had a great relationship with Booker High School. Is a high school for the Newtown community. And so to address population health, you cannot just focus on the adults. Obviously, this is an internal medicine clinic. It's an adult clinic. The Florida Department of Health has a clinic for children in the community of Newtown, but we were missing for adults. And so we wanted to still have a relationship with the high school students, one, so that they could shadow. There's not a lot of Newtown, as we've spoken before. There's not a bank. There's not a law group. So now the students can at least, shadow the resident physicians. They can shadow the nurse. They can shadow the nutritionist. They'll be able to shadow the legal aid folks. So all of a sudden, they'll be able to say, hey, I can do this too. And so it will also help provide a need for them. We hope to also engage them in STEM programs, although that's still a work in process, where they're actually, able to follow diseases and be able to follow perhaps even some of the patients down the road. So maybe they say, hey, if I incorporate these healthy eating habits, or perhaps I can also prevent from becoming a diabetic, or how can I best help my family, or how can I best remind, let's say, their relative, hey, did you take your medications today, or did you take your insulin, or and really try to look at a broader sense of population health.
Can you tell me a little bit more about Newtown? It's a place I haven't been, so could you just kind of describe it to me?
So, it's, I'll tell you, the people are very, very engaged and supportive, but it's really a food desert, so you don't see, there may be one or two restaurants, not much, lots of houses in the area, but really this practice will really also, we hope, will be helping the community by revitalizing the community. Newtown has had, there's a Newtown Redevelopment Office. We've had a lot of support as well from the city of Sarasota looking at how can we best redevelop this area. And that has really, having now a 6,000 square feet facility on in Newtown, I think will add a lot of value.
And the issues in Newtown are not unique to the city of Sarasota. There's a Newtown in every city. There's always
Absolutely.
These neighborhoods. Why isn't something like this happening in more places? And what are the barriers to something like this happening?
I think it takes a lot of time to be able to develop that, those relationships, to be able to identify the needs. But every community, as you said, will have a legal aid and would have a food bank. It's a matter of how do we integrate these services. We recently presented this at a national meeting for the council that oversees all of the residency programs, and it was very well received, the thought that maybe we can, a lot of care for the underserved are provided by resident physicians. It's how can we make these connections so that they can really, you can really provide comprehensive care to the patient population.
Because where it's happening elsewhere at this point is kind of just a clinic, and you have residents that are rotated in and out. And as Dr. Jenkins was mentioning, that personal connection is kind of a nice thing to have. So, maybe this type of a model would create a little bit more continuity?
We hope so, and that's one of the things why, you know, when we were presenting this, is not just continuity with the physicians. Our goal is for them to develop longitudinal relationships, so that way you reduce the risk, you manage their chronic disease, you minimize the use of the emergency department for non-emergent visits, and also we hope that it will help, you know, decrease readmissions as well. You need to have all of those pieces in place to be able to provide the optimal care. And what we found is that many places are not able to provide that. It's really a matter of just seeking out, and I would encourage, you know, other institutions to really, you know, identify how can they incorporate these services. It may be sometimes you can't. One of the advantages of designing a new residency program is that you all sort of have a clean slate for you to envision this. But even if you can just partner and know how can I refer my patients so that they get these services would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. It's a network. It's a community effort.
Correct. Well, and I tell you, the most important piece here, you just said, is a community. So you can't just go in blindly and say, oh, here, I'm going to have this, you know, all these services. You need buy-in from the community, and you need to develop, that relationship. So from community to church leaders, we've met with them to get their support as well.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guest, Dr. Wilhelmina Weiss-Romich. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Also, I want to thank Dr. Christopher Jenkins. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.